Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, an opportunity to be with the Lord on the Lord's Day, to set aside the Lord's Day, to be a countercultural people, a people that are formed by the Lord and living in trust and love and worship of our King. I want to talk this week about some of the spiritual combat that we're facing in our culture and put it in the context of some of Scripture and catechism, and then some of what the recent popes have said about the moment that we're living through, the magisterium. It really is a time of shaking, a time of trial, time of tribulation for many people in the world, time of confusion, division within the church itself, a time of great testing. But I'd like to begin with maybe the place to start would be a passage. I just want to talk about the catechism and what the catechism says about the return of the Lord. What will precede the return of the Lord? Why do I want to start there? I want to start there because the scripture is very clear, the catechism is very clear about certain events that are going to happen that Jesus does want us to pay attention to, and St. Paul and the other writers of the New Testament want us to pay attention to. I'm not doing it because I think we are actually living in the end times. We could be. Only the Lord knows. I certainly don't know. But there certainly are signs and trends that look like that's a possibility. But even if it's not that, you see in history the spiritual combat rise and fall, the battle between the two kingdoms. We're living in a fallen world. St. John the Apostle reminds us, even though God's creation is good, that he's made us to love him, to follow him, that this earth is not our home, number one. Number two, it's a battlefield, and that the whole world is in the power of the devil. It's something we don't think much about. Lots of people don't necessarily believe it, but it's true. That's the condition. So there is a kingdom, a dominion of darkness. Paul would say a dominion that's under the power of sin and death, and that is driven by Satan, by evil, by a dominion of angels that are at the service of Satan. And the church is in a battle throughout history. And so we're in a moment in which the spiritual battle seems to be intensifying. There are signs that are clearly pointing in that direction. For example, the degree to which people are leaving the church in this past century, in the past 30 years, past 40 years, it's intensifying, seems like, almost each day. It reminds me of St. Paul's warning, which I want to touch on today, reminding us that before Jesus returns, two key events are going to happen. More than that, Jesus talked about a whole series of events, but two very concrete, specific events are going to happen before the Lord returns. One is the great apostasy, that is, believers, baptized people, turning away from the Lord, and two, the rise of the Antichrist. So I'm going to read Paul's passage from 2 Thessalonians today, and then some things from the Catechism, because together they're very helpful, giving Catholics a perspective of how to understand that particular moment in history. And it is possible that we are living through, because we are seeing, without question, a very significant and staggering apostasy that's happening in the church. I mean, friends, for 1,400 years, 1,300, 1,500 years, the Western world in particular, the faith was very common. It was Christendom was the description. You know, it was a time which whole nations and peoples and cultures accepted and believed. Did everybody believe? Not necessarily, but whole nations acknowledged God, the things of God, the commandments of God, lived under God's rule and reign, accepted the Ten Commandments. Our own country was a part of that as well. And that's collapsing. It has collapsed across Europe. It's collapsing now. And in that collapse, part of what's going on is a dramatic turning away from the faith. So here's what St. Paul describes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about the man of lawlessness. He said, and you know what is the great restrainer of the evil one. He says, let's start with verse 1, chapter 2. He said, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to be quickly shaken in mind or excited. That word should be for us as well. Don't be shaken, don't be overly excited, either by the Spirit or by word or by a letter purporting to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So some people were saying the day of the Lord has come, others were shaken by it, what was being said. So Paul's trying to calm them a little bit and help them understand. more about what it's going to be like when the Lord returns, or just prior to his return. He said, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness." So the rebellion is the turning away, is the great apostasy, and the rise of the Antichrist, who Paul describes here as the man of lawlessness. He said, when the man of lawlessness is revealed, that son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you this, and you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and it's already at work in human history, which is part of my point. The mystery of evil, the mystery of rebellion against the rule of God, against the rule of his Messiah, of Jesus, the Lord of all. That's what's going on, friends. At the deepest level in human history is a conflict between two kingdoms. And it's really important for Christians, Catholics, disciples to keep that clear. And if you do, you're not going to be surprised with the crazy political upheavals, cultural upheavals, strange and radical lifestyles being proposed that are opposing God and the kingdom of God. Where does all this stuff keep coming from? It's the story of human history, friends. It's human beings caught in a spiritual battle. And if you're not aware of it, if you're not living under the rule and reign of God, if you're not being guided by God's revelation, his truth, scripture, the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles, prophets, the teaching of the church, the magisterium, the life of the saints, that's where the light is. Walking in the light, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He gave to his disciples his vision of reality. He gave his own life. He taught them. And he says, now you're the light of the world. Go be light and go be salt. And the assumption that Jesus is operating from is that the world is in darkness. And that's a fact. It's first in darkness about God as Father. Jesus came to reveal, you know, not only the reality of God, but that God is a communion of persons in love from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that God is a Father, and that he loves us like a Father. And Jesus came to reveal the Father and to make the Father known and to reveal the Father's plan and to give us an understanding of the true condition of what's going on the planet and the true condition of human beings and the hearts of human beings and what God's plan of salvation is, that we're a race of people that have fallen, we're in rebellion, we're caught in the power of sin and death. We need to be released from that dominion. The only place and the only way that that happens is in the life, death, passion, resurrection, ascension into glory of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, being baptized into his life, being united to him, receiving a new life so we can live as a new creation in him. That's the central story of salvation, and it's the revelation, it's the light that shines in the darkness. Because the darkness is, well, there is no meaningful origin. We're here by accident, big bang only. There's no God. There's no plan. There's no design. There's no designer. There's no ultimate purpose in human life. There's no afterlife. There's no heaven. It's all fantasy. There's no spiritual world. It's all matter in motion. That's humanity's scientism working. It's relying on its own understanding and its rejection of God and the things of God. And human beings walk as if we have more light on our own resources than at any time in human history, and our own knowledge and who we are is all we need. Ignoring God and the story of God somehow is, for the first time in many, many centuries, considered a minimal problem or irrelevant, you might say. I was listening to an interview about a Christian pollster, you know, George Barna, famous guy. He's been doing polls for many, many years. And he said one of the things that's most interesting right now is what you'd call apostasy that's happening. The numbers that have increased just in the last few decades of people who no longer are living by a biblical worldview. And he said what's very common, what's growing very fast, and the largest religious group in their studies that they come across now, they describe as the don'ts. It's related to the nones, the N-O-N-E-S that Bishop Barron and others, other studies have talked about. The don'ts, as he describes them, is You know, people say, I don't know if God exists. I don't care if God exists. And I don't believe that God exists. That number of people who are standing in that posture is growing rapidly, faster than any particular church is growing. And so he said, that's very new. In the last two decades in particular, it's kind of exploding, especially with young people. And it's not just a passing fad, it doesn't look like. It looks like it's more than that. So this is why we're talking about it, why I want to talk about it, because one, it's just good to know what Scripture says about the return of the Lord and what we ought to know and understand is going to be coming, period. Number two, it's especially significant, I think, right now, because whether this is, you know, what we're experiencing is the great apostasy, we are certainly living through a very dramatic apostasy and turning away from the Lord. So we need to be alert to the spiritual battle that underlies it. And so part of it is the deception here that Paul's talking about. Jesus warned about time of great deception that will come upon the earth. And Paul is describing what's behind that deception is the lawless one, is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be a historical person, will rise up, will be charged with the power of the enemy. Satan's going to pour whatever he can into that person. That person's going to do a whole set of things to dazzle the world when the world is divided against itself. He's going to unite large portions of the world. He's going to look like sort of a savior politician. He's going to bring peace. And then one thing's going to lead to the next. And he's going to eventually, as Paul just said, he's going to declare himself God. There's a lot there, but that's going to happen. So verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. And the Lord Jesus Christ will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing and his coming. When the Lord returns, he's going to destroy, he's going to slay the Antichrist and bring down the kingdom of the enemy finally. I mean, he's already disarmed the principalities and powers on the cross. He's going to definitively deal with Satan for all eternity. Verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders. So the Antichrist is going to be, as I said, empowered by Satan in a unique way. He's going to perform signs and wonders that will dazzle people. And then verse 10, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. This is a very important thing to understand. One of the things that the strategy of the devil is acting through the Antichrist is going to produce lots of signs and wonders that's going to confuse people. He's going to deceive people, and he's going to deceive especially those who are not radically committed with loyalty to Jesus Christ as the truth. Allegiance to Jesus is the name of the game, and that's the battle that's going to be fought before he comes. This Antichrist is going to try to usurp, steal, and deceive people into separation from God. Paul goes on, he says, therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what ends up happening, the devil leads large portions of society and even baptized people into deception, to believing lies and embracing unrighteousness in many ways. So we're going to talk about some of these topics this week because it's always important to reflect on the word of the Lord, especially in times like we're living through right now. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.